the truth, what really the truth is. We chase shadows. And when we don't understand what constitutes the truth that we're supposed to know, we are open to any kind of junk that comes around. If you don't have a destination, you'll be going all over town. If you don't have a focus in life, you'll be confused. It's important that we understand what the truth what is, so that you know if what you are imbibing is the truth or not. It is key. It is key. What is the message of the New Testament? What is the message that you are supposed to have, that you are supposed to preach? What is that message? What is it? Now, well, I just realized, and that's true, that when we don't understand what God is saying, we respond wrongly. Our response is always wrong. And once it is wrong, it produces nothing. There are two ways you respond to God. Either you respond spiritually or carnally. Once we don't understand what God is doing or saying, we usually respond carnally. We usually look to ourselves to produce the response instead of embracing what God is doing. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
So, I want to make it clear and very simple to us. The truth is about Jesus Christ. What did I say? I didn't hear you. The truth is about what? Jesus Christ. And him crucified, raised from the dead, and now our great high priest. Again, I want to say it again. The truth is about what? Jesus Christ. Him crucified, him that was buried and was raised, and now is our great high priest. You know, the Bible says Jesus brought us grace and what? And truth. It's not that everything God said wasn't true, but this was the truth that God was sending us. It's a revelation that hasn't been given before. It wasn't there before. It wasn't there at the time of Moses. It wasn't there before Moses. It has never been given. Paul said this was never given, but now it is being given to us. This revelation is called the truth that Jesus brought us. The Bible says Jesus began to speak these things and handed it over to others. So he brought us this that was not there before. And that constitutes the crux of the New Testament. It is this thing that Jesus brought that he began to talk about himself. The Bible says in Hebrews that the Lord began to talk about it himself. It is this truth, this witnessing that the Holy Spirit continues to talk about. No different message. The Spirit of God is saying the same thing that Jesus is saying. It's about that same truth that is being propagated by the Holy Spirit and is bringing down through the church now. So we need to understand that the truth is about Jesus Christ and him crucified, raised from the dead, and now is our great high what? Priest. 2 Thessalonians 2:21. Sorry, Ephesians 4:21, not 2 Thessalonians. Ephesians 4:21. Ephesians 4, verse 21. Ephesians 4 verse 21, is it up there? I don't have time here. I really don't have much here. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is what? Come on, church, I'm talking to you. As the truth is where? In Jesus. That's where the truth is. I'm telling you the absolute truth. The truth is in Christ Jesus. It is in Christ Jesus. The truth is in Christ Jesus. You must know this truth. You must understand it. Can I have a New Living Translation? Since you have heard about Jesus, since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, it's in him that you have the truth. He began to talk about it. He was testifying about it himself. He was teaching about himself. He was declaring who he was to the world. And the Holy Spirit came and continued in that message. Now, when Paul began to teach the Galatian church, he was teaching them this truth that was found only in Christ Jesus. And they, somewhere along the line, they neglected it and they began to listen to something else. So he addressed them in Galatians 3 verse 1. That will help you see what the message really is. Galatians 3 verse 1. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you for the meaning?" For the meaning, church, Christian. I'm telling you, people, Jesus is the message. For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death. Where? The meaning. What he died to achieve and accomplish is the core message of Christianity. The meaning was made so clear to you. We're teaching you Christ crucified. The meaning, he said, did anybody cast this evil spell on you that you took your eyes off that? Because there is nothing else that will bring you the blessings except you begin to understand all those things that God gave you, provided, did for you as an individual on the cross of Calvary. And seeking to get divine blessing any other way will leave you outside the blessing. You can't get the blessing except what Christ did. You cannot. I cannot. It doesn't work that way. And when we don't understand that this is the only way it works, we start formulating our own responses. We start thinking of what we're supposed to do. I can fast some more. I can pray some more. I go to church some more. And I do some more. And all those things are you formulating them. And neglecting the key thing. Neglecting where the answer is. Like I said on Thursday, Jesus is the answer. So Paul was warning them. That's why he said, did you people drink kwaya or something? Did you drink BKT? What is BKT? Did you drink BKT? You know what BKT is? This new generation, I don't know it. They make it out of corn. Especially in Ekurobia, that's their main drink. Early in the morning, they drink it and push their truck. And if you push them, they push you back. It's called push me, I push you. It's called BKT, Brukutu. It came from Kwara State. So Paul said, did anybody cast a spell on you? Did you lose your mind? How could you do this? How could you ever possibly do this kind of stuff? That this was said before you, we taught you this, and now you've thrown it back away. And wanting to get the blessing of God by all this junk you lined up, you're doing yourself. If those things will give you the blessing, why did Jesus come? Why did he come? You could have gotten it by all your fasting and all your this and all your that. You should have gotten it by every activity you do now. But Jesus came because there's no way you get it except if he died on the cross. There's no other way. You can't behave your way into that. You can't act your way into that. You can't force God into that. You can't force your way into that. You can't. All this are human mind, religious things that people do. It's been in our culture. It's been taught the church for a long time. Broby was telling me, he said, Pastor, you imbibed all this thing for too long. He said, now to change is difficult. Single time you have an issue, the first thing you start to look is what you are supposed to do. How about what God did? It looks so religious. In human reasoning, it looks like, yeah, because it's coming from you. So your mind will take it as the solution. But brethren, it's the flesh. It's not from the Spirit of God. Because the message, the truth that sets you free is found in who? Christ Jesus. That's why the answer is. And even if you have been told, they won't take it serious. Because you don't see how that will solve my problem. Now Paul said, just in case we don't understand, Galatians 3:10. He says you can't get into the blessing if you depend on what you do to make it happen. Galatians 3:10. But those who depend on the law, those who depend on what they do. Galatians 3:10, we have moved on. I'll read it from here. But those who depend, that's New Living Translation is what I'm reading. But for as many as are, but those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his what? Curse. Brethren, this is Bible. You don't want to live under God's curse. And the Bible is saying people live under the curse, not under the blessing. Because they depend on these things they do to enter the favors of God. I mean, you don't have to be an Englishman to know that favor is what you don't merit. Favor is what you don't merit. So why do I work myself out to merit favor? That's what they call a tautology in English. Am I right? Tautology? I don't even know whether I'm right. Huh? Tautology. That is contradiction. Is favor? Huh? Huh? It's what? No, it's not repetition. No. You can repeat the truth over, but if you contradict the truth, it's tautology. I can repeat a truth over. Repetition is not tautology. They're different. Tautology is when you contradict two things that are opposite. Am I right, Eddie? Now go and solve this problem. I've caused confusion here. I love it, man. I love it. Confusion has finally arrived. All this, I came to America 20 years ago. Let's show it. Let us see. Tautology, you don't know the meaning. Tautology is repetition. Repetition, right? Unnecessary repetition. That's tautology. Unnecessary repetition. Redundancy. Okay, English 101. All of you failed. Now, I'm right, right? I'm right? Give me 5, man. Check me out, man. Hey, awesome. Where's my wife? Favors are coming. I'm right, right? Yeah, contradicting. I went to school. I'm right. So what is a huge contradiction? Brethren, my fellow Christians, I am going for favor, but working myself out to get it. How does it add up? You don't have to go to school to know that that's contradiction. If it's favor, it's favor. Favor is unmerited. So why? How do I want to line up what to make me merit a favor? Cease this to be favor. And God says, I'm out of here. Because what I'm giving you remains an act of what? Favor is freely given. You can't pay for it. Any way you want to pay for it, you don't qualify. The thing that disqualifies you automatically is that payment you are bringing. It's free. Because if it's not free, then God is negating the cross himself. God himself is brought his son, crossed him, that you have this, and God is saying it is not necessary. You can circumvent it and pay me. God is not for sale. Nothing from God is for sale. You cannot. But listen, Peter said to somebody, he said, you and your money perish because you think that you can receive the gifts of God by payment. He said, you have no portion in it at all. He said, you and your money perish. Why? You think the gifts of God is for sale. He said, want to pay for it? He said, this is abomination. He said, you perish, you. He said, you have no, he said, your mind is evil. Read your Bible. Peter was so angry. And the same thing, Paul was so angry here. Peter, look, nothing made Paul as angry as anybody negating the grace of God. Peter was really furious with this man and said, you perish with your money. That was real disapproval of what the man did. Now here comes Paul, very angry with Galatian church. Very furious. He said, don't you people understand that if you want approval by the law, you're under a curse, God's curse. You want to remain under a curse? How can it be? Aren't you stupid? That's what he said, it's foolishness. So So when you don't understand what the truth is, and don't understand even what the Spirit of God is saying, you are going to be living a carnal life. There is no mequantancy there. You are going to end up living what? A carnal life. There's no transformation coming. You can do things on yourself that men do. After all, many Christians build some character. I mean, people who are not Christians build some character. You meet them in your offices now. But it's not of God. And they said the Lord what? Yes. Those that build. You can build. It's a vain thing. It's a vain thing. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Ephesians 1:3. When I think of all this, I pour. When I think of all this, I pour a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending Ephesians 3:1. Extending, right? Huh? Oh, 3:1. Sorry, 1:3, right? 3:1. Yeah, Ephesians 3:1. What did I say? That's tautology. Ephesians 3:1. So when I think of all this, I Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his what? Grace to you Gentiles. This unmerited favor, these things that Jesus paid for, I'm extending it to you Gentiles. As assuming you people understand my mission here, is to bring you this truth. Continue. Continue verse 3, please. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to what? To me. Paul is always telling the authority of which he bases his teaching. That's why I come here. If God teaches me anything, I'll tell you God taught me this thing. Because that's what he keeps doing. He keeps telling you the authority he bases on. What he said, it's not Paul. He said, this is not me. God taught me this. Don't forget that nobody had written Ephesians and all these things before. You are the first people writing these things for us to read. So as you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding who? Christ. Verse 5. God did not reveal it to previous what? It's just being revealed now. That's the truth that Christ brought us. That's the end time game of God. Christ Jesus. God has no other plan. It was not revealed to previous generations because the plan had not been put into place. But now it's been put into place. Now it says, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Continue to verse, and we'll get to 7. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches. Share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body. Both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Jesus Christ. He said, this is the message I'm bringing you people. Because by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him. How do you serve him? By spreading this good news. And that's what the church is for. When we don't understand the truth, and we face situations, we resort to ritualism. We think that ritualism is the thing. No. It's the word that is the thing, though. It's the truth that is the thing. The church is supposed to teach you the truth so you grow in it and grow in my church and employ the truth to work for you. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not, you up your game, you do more rituals, you are not coming for Bible study, you come more. And the reason you come more is not to know the truth, The reason you come is because you think by now coming more, God will find you that you are now good. And then the blessings will start pouring. Doing the right thing for the wrong motive because of ignorance. Then you come to church more. You were not coming more. But now because of this thing now, you are the first to open the door. And you are not coming to hear the truth or learn it. You are doing it so that you find favor. That God will find you that you are now, okay, now I see how he's such a good person. Now, okay, can we now send the blessing? The blessing has been sent in Christ longest time. And it is that deceit, wanting to deceive God, it's abomination. Okay, after you get the blessing, what happens after? You stop. God says, you can't mock me now. I know your heart before you start. So all that thing you're packaging, you're praying more now, fasting more now, doing all this more now, is a desperate attempt to solve one problem. It's not even targeted at knowing God at all. And then when it doesn't work, your real nature shows up. You get angry with God. Your real carnal nature manifests immediately. You get angry with God, get angry with church, get angry with everything. That's your real nature. It's showing up. And God knew he was there all this way. He has been there all this way. You are giving a religious carnal response to what is purely a spiritual situation. So the church is supposed to be a place to bring into the knowledge of the truth. So that in knowing the truth, you live free. You shall know the truth. Yeah. Supposed to, that's what it's supposed to. That's why it should be. Listen, you are not interested in the truth. You don't want to know the truth. Ephesians 4:11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, their pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people. Their responsibility is what? To equip God's people to do his work now and build up the church, the body of Christ. Continue, please. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge. What knowledge? Of God's Son. Remember what Paul said. Say this truth is in Christ. The knowledge of God's Son. That we will be now what? Mature in the Lord. When you are matured in the Lord, you know how to get about your business spiritually. You don't need no pastor. You don't need nobody. You know. You know how to go. A mature person gets into the house. A mature person comes into the house, knows where the fridge is, knows what he wants to eat. He takes this, he takes that. You don't push him around, he knows it. But when a kid comes in, he doesn't know anything. Doesn't know anything. He's so dependent and so vulnerable. He says, this teaching you your faith to come into the unity of faith is that we believe the same thing correctly and come into the knowledge of the Son of God. He said that knowledge of the Son of God will bring God into spiritual maturity. We stop acting carnally and start acting what? Spiritual. Into the image of Christ. We start behaving the way Christ behaved. And when you see how Jesus behaved, Jesus in the wilderness, boy, he had a very wonderful time, a huge crusade that lasted days, healing crusade. It was terrific. Nobody after him has ever done anything he did. It was terrific. In the wilderness, they went out there for 3 solid days. He was healing people. Man, it was great. The crowd was coming. And at the end of the crusade, he said to his disciples, we have an issue here. We need to feed these guys because, you know, they will faint. They've been here a long time. And the disciples said, sir, we're in trouble. We are really in trouble. Because here we have thousands of people and we don't have food to give them. And you want us to feed them? I want to show you how spiritual people do their stuff. Spiritual people, listen to me. You want us to feed them? Yeah, it was a huge challenge. But was Jesus rattled? No. Why? The Bible says he knew what he was going to do. He knew exactly what was going to do. He wasn't He wasn't fretting because he knew the mind of the Father on the issue. He knew ahead of the time what the Father would. Because he said, what I see my Father do is what? That's how spiritual people live their life. They know what God wants to do. So when you are rattled and shaking, they are stable. They are still. They know he's God. His God is staying covered. Can I hear amen? Amen. They are not moved at all. Mature people are stable. Very stable Christians. Extremely stable. David said, even if I walk through the shadow of valley of death, I shall fear what? No, he said, it doesn't bother me because he's there. I'm not praying for him to come. He's there. He's there with me. And then he said, what do you have? He said, sir, what we have is totally inadequate. It can't solve this problem. It's little fish, little bread, and here are thousands. He said, can I have it? And when they gave it to Jesus, then he went, tied the strap, and started, Holy Ghost fire. Father, you know the problem we have. You see all these thousands. In fact, Lord, you have to glorify your name. If you don't do it, they will say, you didn't send me here. Please, 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 you need to help me. Oh, yeah, help me. Quick. None of that. That's what we do. Because we think that's I don't know how to do. This fire brigade thing is the solution. He was calm. The steps of a good man is what? All right? He knew. Bible said, for he knew what he was going to do. He already knew. So they gave him the bread. Guess what? He didn't even pray. He didn't pray. He said, he lifted the thing up and thanked the Father because he knew what the Father was what? You don't bother God when you know what he's doing. Okay, I'm preaching here. Are you going to come and be begging me, Pastor, preach? That's what I'm doing now. If you know what God is doing, most things you don't bother him about, you just thank him and be calm. That suppressed the carnal people and what? Spiritual people. Spiritual people are so stable because they know what God does. And they're calm. They walk by faith. No matter the storm, they're calm. He thanked the Father. I said, okay, now you people what? Give them. I want to ask you, how do you give people five loaves of it to feed thousands? And watch, he didn't do anything. He gave them and went somewhere and just crossed them. Just watching the Father do stuff. He just was watching the Father do stuff. Then he explained, he said, everything you see is the hand, is my Father's hand at work, it's not me. Said the son can do nothing, what? So when that one presented, he wasn't trying to do anything because he knew the son can do nothing of himself. He knew the Father is the one who can do this. And the Father was doing it. And the thing fed them and there was excess. Are you getting what I'm saying? Huh? That's maturity. That's spiritual maturity. Stability. And then God can give you responsibility because you are stable. If you are immature, you lead people, you lead them into immaturity. Because you go back and be gossiping. And talk, hey, I had that problem. Hey, the pastor didn't come to pray for me. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, if they gossip, you gossip. If they complain, you complain. So who is leading who? That's why God said, don't give my job to novices. Because the devil will take advantage of your ignorance. Praise the Lord. I didn't know the reason that these things happen is this. You need to train yourself. The Bible says by reason of use, you can discern good and bad. We need to train ourselves. I was sharing with them at a couple's forum what one preacher said, and that thing is true. He said, people joke with the word of God. They're not serious about it. And they expect it to work for them when they need it. He said, how can it happen? I mean, don't you understand that practice makes what? Now, I'm preaching. You're not interested. You don't even want to study it. You don't want to listen to it. And all of a sudden, you have a humongous situation. You want that word to work. How can it work? You've trained yourself to disregard it. You trained yourself to neglect it. You trained yourself to spite it. How can all of a sudden you change all of that? But you trained yourself over a long time, and that's your habit. How can it all of a sudden become your basis to stand upon the thing you have despised and looked down upon, you are not interested in, all of a sudden when the humongous, we did it. How do you all of a sudden transit? It's not going to happen. Because they say you don't learn left hand in old age. It's not going to happen. Is it not what you train yourself that you are? Are you going to change all of a sudden? You are not interested in the world. It didn't mean anything to you. In fact, you don't want to even know it. Now, humongous thing shows up. I don't know how this thing works. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Is it not when you are faithful in the little? You are committed to the little. You want to know the little. You want to learn the little. That God says, I will give you what? More. And he said something that I want to share with us again. He said, will you live a false life? Telling lies, deceiving people, won't tell the truth. He said, you are training yourself not to take words seriously. He said, you said to people, I will come by 7. And when you know you won't what? And you keep doing all that. Telling lies. He said, what you do to yourself is that having trained yourself not to have respect for your own word, when you want to speak for your own issue, you still won't have respect for it. And it won't work. And you're wondering why it's not working. Because you have engrafted and ingrained yourself in deceit. So now your words don't worth anything. And when you speak it, it still won't worth what? Is it not what the book of James said? He said, you curse, you do this with the same mouth. You say, can spring water and what? Bitter water come out of what? It's what, when you train your mouth to be bitter mouth, bitter water, it can't bring spring water. Now you want to speak to the devil, he's laughing at you. You are yelling and shouting, laughing at you. Because this is always bringing bitter water. That is true. He said, if you train yourself that your word means is serious, that you are going to say something and mean it. He said, when it comes to speaking the word of God, it is a natural thing to you. Very natural for you to say it and mean it and believe it. Are we going to stop lying? Do we lie? Yes. See what we do ourselves. If at that time Brahman preached, bless me, I said, wow, that is true. He said, Lord, whoa, this is true. He said, we take words flimsily as if we have forgotten that life and death is there. He produces life, produces death. Somebody is asking you something, you tell lies to cover yourself. You are training yourself that words don't mean anything to you. You're not serious. So when you face humongous things, you want to now speak the truth. Well, are you serious? It won't work. Because you trained yourself all these years not to value words. But you can retrain yourself back. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
It takes discipline. I said, this my mouth. No. I want to train myself to believe what I say. So that when I need it, I will speak the word and now believe it. It will work for me. Our brother, see you in church. Oh, well, pastor. My in-laws came. Nobody came. Nobody came. Nobody. You know, Pastor Chuka was sharing where he was smoking. Pastor Victor was coming. He was putting the cigarette in his pocket. And he was saying, this man, can he go? And the cigarette was, that was a burn through his pocket. I don't know what happened. Brother, you know, as I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. I have to deal with this. You have to deal with this. Everybody has to deal with it because it is corrupting us. It is not helping us. We can't speak the words of power when we have trained ourselves not to value the words we even speak, our own. I mean, sister, will we pray for you? When I know I won't be praying for her, I will not, but I'm deceiving her to think that I care. With all that, I think I've gained the advantage, but what it has done is that it's entrenching me deeper into deceit, and not valuing what I say. Now there is trouble. I want to speak. Procutum nothing. Sansit. The Philistines have come nothing. Because I've trained myself into not believing what I say. I caused the trouble. I caused the trouble. When God was saying, speak the truth, we thought he was saying it for religious purpose. No, he was saying it to prepare you so that when you want to speak the truth to deliver you, it is easy to say it and mean it and believe it will work for you. Because that's your character. You've trained yourself that I'm not going to be saying what is not true. I'm going to be saying what is true. Praise the Lord. So, and sometimes it's wrong doctrine, that keeps us from knowing the truth. Wrong what? Doctrine. Colossians 2, 17 to 23. For these rules are only shadows of reality yet to come. These are rules that human beings put in place. And Christ himself is that reality. He's talking about the Ten Commandments and things, that it was just a shadow of the things to come. But Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious what? Pious. You know what pious self-denial is? Religious self-denial. 40 days dry fast. It's pious, looks religious, and self-denying yourself stuff. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's there. Read your Bible. Pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they had visions about these things. It is their sinful minds have made them what? Proud. Continue. Made them proud. Continue. Let them continue. And they are not connected to Christ. See what we're talking about? They are not connected to this message that is in Christ. The head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with each joint and ligament, and it grows, and God what? Nourishes it through eating the manna. Christ himself is the manna. Continue. Continue. Verse 21. 20. For you have died with Christ now. You see what Jesus did? You died with Christ now, and he has set you free. Not going to. He has set you free. He has set you free. He has what? Set you free from the spiritual powers of this world, all of them. He says, so you don't get your freedom from all these things they are now recommending for you because it is already happened. So why do you now keep on following the rules of this world? Such as 21, don't handle this, don't taste this, don't touch this, don't wear earring. Really? But you wear your wedding band. Wedding band won't defy you, but earring will defy you. What foolishness is that? If gold will defy me, then I won't wear my wedding band. Because no matter where you wear it, it will stay what? Why is it when I put it on the neck, it defies? When I put it in the finger, it doesn't. Where is this coming from? And he says, such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion. You know, we know, sis, we cover our hair. We have to tie it. So it looks that it makes you a devotional woman. You know, so you tie it. Brethren, I can tell you stories upon stories upon stories about this junk. I saw with my eyes. I'm not kidding you. And you will see that the Bible is true. These rules seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self what? Denial. And severe bodily discipline. But they provide no help in conquering a person's what? It doesn't help you conquer your evil desire. It doesn't help at all. Because without Christ, you can't conquer it. Christ is the reality. He's the deliverer. He's the one that came to set us free from all these powers of sin. But he said, you die with him, set you free from all these powers. Now, it's not all these things you are doing that will set you free. It is Christ that what? Set you free. And we sing it, only Jesus can save. Are you gone home? Are you still here? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
So, all this, if you are getting all these teachings that is not connected to Christ, that is not bringing you what Paul said, the revelation that God gave me, that the truth that is now being revealed, that is found in who? Christ Jesus. He said, I made the meaning of his death. Why God brought his son to die must be serious. I made the meaning clear to you people. He died so that this will be yours, so that this will be yours, so that you will be free from this. That's what he died for. He said, I made all this. If that teaching is not showing you those things, but bringing you rules that are from human beings, he said, it won't stop you from your evil desires. It's only Christ that set you free and brought you a new nature. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you know the parable that Jesus told? You know, when Jesus was talking about the narrow road and the what? You know, he was talking about the Pharisees and himself. It was the Pharisees teaching the wrong, it was about wrong teaching he was talking about. Because he said, I'm the true vine. He said, I'm the red tree that produces good what? Fruits. He said, these ones are the bad tree that produce what? They produce bad fruits. He said, narrow is this world that will lead you to what? Life. Because it's only Christ. It's only Jesus. It's not broad. It doesn't take any other thing. It's only Christ. He said, I'm the only way to God. He said, but these ones give you many ways. Many. And he said, a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. He said, by their fruits, what? You shall know them. But look at me. I am the good vine, the real vine, the true tree that produces good fruit. He said, my life tells the story. Theirs is hypocrisy. That's what he said. And he said, they are blind teachers that lead the blind, and they will end where? He's talking about wrong doctrine and wrong teachers. When you go, I don't have time, I would have read it for you. Then, after saying that, listen, he now said, you see these sayings of mine now, if you follow my teaching. That's how that thing led to. After saying these things about himself being the real true vine that produces good fruit, and these Pharisees and things being the bad stuff, he said they can't produce anything because they're evil. Then he says, then if you follow my teachings, whoever follows these sayings of what? Of mine shall be stable. And you can't put them down. But if you follow their own, you are building on quick what? Are you following my point? That's what he was teaching them. And then when we don't understand what God is saying, oh boy, if we don't understand this truth we are talking about, then we will always respond again with what we do, thinking is the solution. And then we'll be miserable because we've done everything now. What is there more for me to... Because I've done everything to impress him. And he's not listening. Matthew 20:17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going to what? We are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and on the third day he will rise again. Now you think that when he was teaching this, they were all interested in listening. They didn't understand what he was saying. And like I said, if you don't understand the truth, you are going to package your own response based on what you do. Now, after saying that, two of his closest buddies, I mean these people that went to Mount to Transfiguration and saw this glory, you would think that they are the ones that were what? Get it. They went to their mom. and said, this man is about to be killed. And we believe that before he dies, he's going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Because then Israel was under Roman Empire. And it will shock you to hear this. All his disciples were following him for that reason. That was their motivation. That he, man, this guy got power. So he's going to use this power to take the kingdom from Romans and give them. So they were all following him, hoping that when that happens, they will now, that's opportunity for political position. That is, listen, don't quote me here, but I believe that that was why Matthew, the tax collector, left the tax collector job. Because he's considered that, man, this is going to be more lucrative. So why am I here collecting taxes when this man is going to be, man, we are going to be the minister. What am I doing here? So minister of finance is possible now. So he left everything for him. Do you know that when he, listen to me, when he rose from the dead, what was the first question they asked him? Is it now time for you to restore this kingdom to Israel? We see you die and raise up. We're still here. Okay, read it for yourself. Acts chapter 1, 6. Acts chapter 1, 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, it's all of them. They asked him, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you now at this time restore what? The kingdom. Is this the time now? Ah, we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for this to happen. It's our motivation to follow you. You remember when two of his disciples were going to Emmaus? They were so angry that they followed him and they didn't get, this thing didn't materialize. They were so furious. And Jesus came and joined them and said, what are you people talking about? They were angry with him. They said, are you a stranger? You don't know about one Jesus. That's what they called him, one Jesus. Exactly what they called him. Read your Bible. It's there. You don't know about one Jesus. We had hoped that he will restore the kingdom to Israel. We had hoped. That's why we are following him. And now he's dead after 3 days. Now, what was their response? It is better for us to go back home and continue our business. That was their response. Every time you don't understand the truth, because you don't know it, you don't know how to engage it, you are going to find solution from yourself. And it will draw zero. Because the flesh will profit you what? They have... Peter went fishing. He said, what's all this? He said, oh, we're lost. Now, these people say, we're going back home to go and reopen our business. Now, listen to me. And when Jesus began to teach them the scripture, they were no more interested. They were no more interested at all. All that is talking, they don't care about it. I don't know if you are sitting here in that state of mind. Because you don't know the truth. You formulated your own response is to walk away. And now, at the breaking of bread, listen to this. At the breaking of bread, their eyes was what? When immediately they knew him, they reversed their response. No, they were not ready to eat again. They left the food right there and went back to church. What was the difference? Now they saw the truth. Now they knew the truth. Now they understand that this is for real. This is not a joking matter. And they say, were we not angry when he was what? Teaching us. He said, our heart was burning within us. We're angry. He said, man, this truth is real. We are not interested in your food anymore. We are headed back to church. Read your Bible. Go and read it. When you found the truth, it's a treasure. You leave everything. You leave everything. You are going to drop no more religion. You are running to Bible study. Nobody will push you. The reason you are doing that is like you are them. Your eyes are still not open. Simple. Not as simple as ABC. So these brothers, James and who? They went to their mother and said, Mom, you know, we've been telling you why we're following him. So he says he's going to die. They were not interested in the resurrection part. They were only interested in what? In the political post. They said, you know, let's go now. you should go now and talk to him. Maybe he will listen to you. So the woman came and read your Bible. The Bible says he respectfully knelt before him. You know, when you want to influence something, you bring in everything. And that's what we do to God. When we want to trick him, we come bow. And God said, look at it. This person bow does not talk to people. And he I didn't make read your Bible. She respectfully bowed and said, sir, Lord, I have a request. You know, these my two children. Since you came to town, they have not been home to help me. Now, can you please, in that kingdom, let one stay on your right hand and the other on your left hand. Please, if you do that, that response was coming from their carnal mind because they didn't understand it. They packaged it from their thinking, from their reasoning. That's what we do. And did it benefit them? No. Jesus said, you don't know what you are talking about. What you are asking can only come from God. Brethren, that thing, it can only come from God through Jesus, the blessings of God. So it can only come from God. Only God gives it. Only God gives it. So why do you want to go and trick God? God said, you are not talking to your neighbor, you are here. You haven't learned to honor my word at all. You don't honor me. This thing you are doing is show. Sure. All the sermon you've been hearing, have you ever honored it? Didn't know it was my spirit talking. Giving that thing. I brought you to church to teach you so you know my son. You are not interested. Now you are doing holding wager here. Come on, get up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we're going to close with this church that is in Laodicea. Let's go back to that church. I don't know, am I communicating? Yes. Oh, sure. You have to have the knowledge of the truth as your goal. And whatever blinds you from it, you've got to kick it out. Because if you don't, you spend your years packaging your own responses. They will never work. They can be religious, but believe you me, they will work. Because only the truth works. Only what? Truth works. You'll be struggling with masturbation, struggling with all these things. Unless you come to the knowledge of the truth. You'll be packaging your character. People won't know you. Because what you show in church is not you. You're not real. It's no truth. You're not living in the truth. People won't know you. I'm not kidding you. A lot of secret things nobody will. And the thought of your heart, where you defy God and nobody sees it. But God says, I'm not looking at the outside. I know you. Revelation 3:14. Now we're going back to, that's where we stop. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, which means whether it's in Orange or whatever. Right. This thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. That thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, we treated that, tried in the fire the word, that thou mayest be rich, and white garment, the righteousness of God, that thou mayest be clothed. And then the last one said that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with what? Eye salve, that thou mayest see. You see, this church, their response was carnal. They were looking at carnal things. So I have money, things are growing for me. But God says, you are miserable. You are really naked and wretched. And you are blind. You don't know it. Their response was based on carnal things. They were very carnal. They didn't understand it. But God says, you don't understand. You are really, really in shame. You are living in shame. And one of the solutions is to get the anointing. Let the Spirit of God open what? Yes, that's what it means. So you need your eyes to be open. You are walking in blindness. And that's what Paul was writing to every church and saying to every church, praying for them, that the eyes of your understanding were what? Opened, so that like those two disciples at Emmaus, when your eyes is open to Christ and the reality of Jesus, you will run straight back to church. You will run with all your heart. Nobody will push you. You will embrace the truth. You will want to know the truth. You will love the truth. You will stop all this religious stuff. You go to the truth because now you see the value of the truth. It's a treasure that when you find it, you sell everything and go for it. Nobody will beg you to. Nobody. You are not doing it for anybody. And you stop all this when there's humongous things, you do more. Now you are steady because you are pursuing the truth. You are pursuit of it. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. So that becomes your desire. Begin to pray the kind of prayer. And you have to have the love of truth. Love for truth. It said in, I think, 2 Thessalonians 2:21 about 2 Thessalonians 2, is it 2:21? I don't know. Yeah. Let's try that. That's 2:21. Is that 21? Try 21. Let's see. No 21. Can you put 4 for me? Oh no, I missed that scripture. But that's all right. In that scripture, it's talking about because they don't have the love for the truth that they lost out. He said because they don't have the love for the truth, they perished. Because you see, the Bible says my people are what? Destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge of the truth. That's it. He said, because they don't have love for that truth. He said they lost that, they perished. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. I want us to bow our heads. I want you to think.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.